I love it. Upbeat music. Let's go. Guys, week three, new year, same mission. That's what we're talking about. We're going to spend 5 weeks talking about the mission of our church. That is because if we want to be known for anything, we want to be known as a church on mission. And so that's what we've been talking about, is the mission of FBCE, how everything that we do here is designed towards that end, to fulfill that mission. And we're going to continue having that talk this morning. And so I'm going to ask a couple of favors. One, if you have a bulletin, I'd love for you to grab it. We have these hard copies. They're great. If you want a digital version, that's also helpful. You can scan that QR code. It's going to take you to our digital notes. That'll be great. If you have a Bible, we're in Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. Ephesians chapter 4. We are going to start in verse 11 together, and it is going to be great. I'm going to pray for our time in God's Word, and then we will get started. So join me in a word of prayer, if you don't mind. Father, thank you for allowing us to gather in your name this morning. Holy Spirit, we want to recognize your role in our lives. You're our teacher, you're our guide. And so this morning, with intention, we want to step back and ask you to come and fill this pulpit and fill our minds and our hearts and teach us about Jesus from the inside out. Teach us about how your word is meant to bring change in our lives. God, we love you. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, guys, we're doing this series because we have so many new people. And in every year, as you start a new year, people are like, man, we need to get back into church. And so we thought it was really important as people come that they understand who we are. We've had people that have been with us for almost over a year since we've gone through this information. That's really, really important. And because we want to be a church that is known for being on mission, we're going to put this forward over and over and over again. You say, Pastor, what is our mission? Here it is. It's up on the screens, right? Guys, our mission is to see families in Elgin transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the mission in a heartbeat, to see families transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we spent 1 week talking about transformation. Then this is how. Loving through worship. We talked about that last week. Learning through discipleship. Guess what? That's this week. Living through service and sharing of the gospel. Those will be the next 2 weeks, and then that's the end of this series. Okay. Now I want to tell you what's coming up on the radar. We realize that for many new believers, and we've had a bunch, we baptized just under 52 years ago. Last year, it was almost 30, and so we've got a lot of new believers. And one of the things we struggle with is understanding that the gospel, the good news, that God has a plan to save us, that we can't do it on our own or by ourselves, that sometimes we don't understand how that fits in the Old Testament. So at the end of this series, we're going to jump into this series called The Gospel BC. And we're going to start all the way in the book of Genesis. We're going to go through the Old Testament. I mean, we're flying, y'all, like in a helicopter going over the Old Testament. Go, look there, look there, look there. And we're going to see Jesus in the Old Testament. So if you've ever wondered, man, what is that Old Testament? What does it have to do with me? All that law and stuff that I read, how does that relate? Man, be here for it. It is going to be such a blessing. We're so excited about that. So, but this morning, we're going to continue this series talking about our mission, and that goal is transformation. So if you have your Bibles, let's read this together. I am in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to read verse 11 through 16. And the Word of God says this. It says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, equipping the saints for the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in faith in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we'll no longer be little children, tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness and the techniques of deceit. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ. From him the whole body is fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part." So this is, hey, man, we're all one body, many parts, and this is why the church exists, right? And remember, the goal is transformation. And here's what we said in week one. So I'm just going to take you guys back. If you weren't with us, there were three things we discussed in week one as we talked about transformation. And the first is this, that transformation happens, it begins when we hear, understand, and respond to the gospel. Right? That's what it begins. So change doesn't really start to happen in us. We start to hear about God. We may start to want to do stuff, but we're kind of powerless at that point. So things really begin to change when we come to the realization that all of our efforts to make ourselves good enough for God don't work, and that we actually need God to do a work in us instead. And when we come to that point, we sing about surrender here all the time. When we receive the gospel is when transformation really begins. And many times that happens right here in our worship services, y'all. We've seen God do some amazing work. We've had somebody give their life to Christ. I think almost every Sunday since June, it's been incredible. And we're so thankful for what God is doing in this place. But it doesn't just happen in this place. It also happens in all of our areas of learning, right? Sometimes that happens in our small groups. Sometimes it happens in our ministry offerings. We've had it happen in Re-Engage. We've had it happen with people that came in through some of our side doors, our ministries like We Care or Momco. We're seeing it happen. It happens just in the lives of our members as they live out the gospel in their homes. We've seen their kids come to know Christ. We've had children come to know Christ just as their parents sat through the Christmas season and read the Advent readings with them, right? That's what happens. So we see that transformation, that moment of surrender. It happens in all different places here. We'll talk about some of that this morning. The second thing I shared with you when we began talking about change is this, that upon our salvation, and this is key, upon our salvation, we receive the Holy Spirit. When we accept Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit through which Jesus begins to change us from the inside out. And that's huge, right? How many of you have ever tried to change yourself from the outside in? How's it going? Not great, right? Not great. Anybody ever, like, is anybody already off the diet they wanted to start the new year with? Anybody still on the diet? Praise God for you guys. Let's go. But you're not loving it, right? You're like, I'm on the diet, but I hate it. I want a cake is what I want. It doesn't matter what kind. Pancake is fine. I don't know. My son brought home some birthday cake last night, and I thought, boy, that looks good. Be honest. I stuck my finger in it. Okay, but that was it. That was good for me. I'd usually eat the whole plate, so, all right. Upon our salvation, we receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus begins to change us from the inside out. And that got us to our third point, guys, which is that the church then exists to equip us for transformation and mission. The church then exists to equip us for transformation and mission. This is what we call discipleship, okay? What the church exists to do is called discipleship. And the goal is to equip us to be changed and to go out on mission. And I said this, guys, that week. I said, there is no true form of discipleship that doesn't result in mission. In other words, what we do here, right, what we do here, the point of it all is to help you learn, to equip you so that you can go and then do and be who God's called you to be. So I thought this morning we do something kind of unique. Since we're talking about discipleship, I thought it'd be cool if maybe we just called up our discipleship pastor, my good friend Kevin Malloy. Can we give Kevin a hand, guys? We're gonna do this a little different this morning. Let's go, Kev.
All right.
Man, you excited?
I'm excited. Is this on? Can you hear me?
Okay. I think we're good, man.
You get two pastors on stage. It's
going to be something else, isn't it? They want us as close as we can be where the light shines off of your forehead.
Yes.
Because some of us still
those
have
you
hair.
Get in the spotlight.
And from the front, it looks like I've got a lot of it. Don't make me turn around. right now, I'm good. I'm good. Are you going further than me? Is this a contest?
Nope.
How close can
I'll
we get?
Back.
No,
you
I'm
like,
just
no
joking.
Problem.
We're good. We're good. Hey, bud.
Hey.
How are you? So, Kevin, I want to start here with our people. If we're gonna talk about discipleship, is maybe just could you share with us, like, how would you define? You're a discipleship pastor. How would you define discipleship?
Well, this is actually the first point on our notes, on our worksheet. So if we put it on the screen, we can jot this down, actually. It's this. Discipleship primarily is about teaching those who have given their lives to Jesus what it means to follow him. So that's pretty much it, right? So it's primarily about teaching those who have given their lives to Jesus what it means to follow him.
So, I mean, I love that. That's a great definition, by the way.
It is.
But for our, can you expound on that a little
Let's
bit?
Let's do it. Yeah, so we just looked at Ephesians 4, and if you look again at verse 12, Look what it says. It says to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ. And then verse 13 talks about until we reach the unity in the faith and the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. So it says to equip the saints,
okay.
Which implies that it's about teaching people, right? So
yeah.
Who have already received the gospel. Okay. So we're talking about believers here, people who have been saved.
Here's my question. So then what are we teaching them?
Right.
So the big question you guys should ask, like if we go, hey, man, the church exists to disciple us. You should ask this question. What does that mean, right? So what kind of, if we're teaching, what are we teaching? Is the goal for these guys to learn a bunch of information? Is there like some point they graduate? Like, man, we've got all this Bible knowledge now. Is the goal just transferring biblical knowledge so that they know Bible backgrounds and different types of literature and they know history? Is it just informational? I guess that's my question.
Right, yeah. So there is some part of that, right, that's information. Teaching someone what it means to follow Jesus will certainly include some amount of biblical knowledge. It's important that we have that, helping them to fully understand the gospel, that we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. It's very important that we understand that. But equipping also includes teaching things like how the Old Testament relates to the New Testament, and Jesus specifically, which we're going to study, how we're supposed to live, how do we worship, study, pray, and how we understand our new nature, our relationship to the law. So yes, I guess part of that is informational, right? It can be seen as information. We talk about that stuff all the time, right here at church, all the time. But in the Christian life, all information is meant to lead to transformation and mission. So it leads, there's a point to it. So a lot of times we get lost in the weeds with that, but all information is meant to lead to transformation and mission.
Guys, that's actually our second point, if you're taking notes, kind of up on the screen, is that the goal of discipleship is not simply to fill our minds with information, but it's to see our lives transformed and then engaged in God's mission. And this is a big deal. We're gonna dive deep into this concept, but just kind of fill in those blanks for us, that the goal of discipleship is not simply to fill our minds with information, but to see our lives transformed and engaged in God's mission. And again, guys, I cannot stress this enough. There is no true sense of discipleship that does not result in transformation and mission, okay? Mm-hmm. It doesn't exist. All of the information that we share at church, in our Bible studies, in our programs, all of that information is literally meant to equip you. Okay, it's meant to help you experience the change that Christ wants to make in your life, but also to equip you to be who He says you are. And y'all, the moment that we receive Jesus, the Bible says we're a new creation and that we have a new mission. And that mission is that we are now called to be ministers of reconciliation. So the goal of the church is to help you realize who Christ says you are, to understand your new identity, but also to equip you to go live out your new mission, which is to be ministers of reconciliation, right?
Amen, yeah. And one of the things that's been my observation, I was an educator for 25 years, professor, did those things. Here's what I observed, that in our culture, many times we take the culture outside of the church and we try to bring it into the church and apply it to discipleship. And what I mean by that is a lot of times we organize our schools in this way, where a teacher is up in the front teaching information, and as a student, you're sitting and you're just gathering that information. So there's an information transfer is pretty much the goal. If you can regurgitate that in the right way, then that's success. But what we see in the Bible is that discipleship is more than that. In fact, it's more about becoming like Christ. Mm. And so if you think of it more of a master apprentice model. And if you've ever been an apprentice, your son has worked as an apprentice, as an electrician. If you've ever been an artist and you've been an apprentice, the goal is to become like the master, to be able to attain everything they can do and to live that way. So discipleship is more about becoming like Christ, learning to be like Him, acting like Him, living like Him, taking up the mission to lead others to do the same. So it's more about becoming like the master than information transfer.
So before you share those scriptures with us that you talked about this week, so would you say that as a culture, especially, in the last 100 years, right, that the modern church, as we think of it, has begun to think of discipleship really as head knowledge, as information, right? I mean, that's not necessarily really the biblical model. Is that what
I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, and it's only natural, right, guys? I mean, this is what we grow up doing, and so we start to think like, if I'm learning, I'm a student of Christ. It's natural for us to lean back into what we've learned in school and how that works, rather than say, I'm following after you to become like you, and you know, to attain all the things that you have to teach me, and then live that way, multiply.
And the big difference would be, right, so one never stops the behavior, right?
That's right.
So if the goal of Christian life, if I've wrongly believed that it is what I've bought into in public education, those kind of things, then I just sit and I keep learning and learning and learning and learning and learning and learning. There's never a release. I'm not becoming. I'm getting smarter,
right?
Biblically, but I'm not becoming or even like. Again, we talk about apprentice. I'm not copying,
right,
what Jesus did or what he tells me to do.
Right. I mean, it'd be more like osmosis than actually directly, you know, guiding someone to do that.
I tried that in college once. Yeah. I didn't want to study anymore, so I laid on my book and prayed that God would help me understand.
Doesn't work. Didn't. Well, and one of the things that we see in biblical community, and we start to think about, what is this apprentice and master model of discipleship look like? It really happens best through community. And so we see this throughout the New Testament, where believers are encouraged, they're spurred on by one another to live by faith. We've been talking about that this morning already, to apply the gospel to their life through biblical community. So there's a couple scriptures. One is this one from Hebrews. Hebrews 10 says, "And let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching." There's some things in there that really jump off, like consider one another, provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather, but instead encouraging one another. I mean, this is an apprentice and master model where we're doing it together. It's just like we see in Galatians 6:2, which we studied not too long ago, where we're told to carry one another's burdens. Now, that is impossible outside of community. Mm. You cannot carry another person's burdens outside of community, right?
So I can't do that with just somebody I shook their hand for the first time. I can't carry
right.
a burden.
Yeah, not going to do that. Okay. I mean, if we're going to edify one another like the scripture calls us to, with the word of God, encourage one another to be more like Jesus, we need to be in relationship. Mm. So we see this from the start of the church as well. Acts chapter 2, which I know is one of your favorites. Mm. The believers in Christ modeled how much they valued fellowship and worship and community life by being together.
Mm, amen. Right? Guys, Book of Acts, one of my favorites. If you want to go through, we actually, years ago, preached through the whole Book of Acts. That stuff's actually on our website. You can go to our website, go to sermons, go to archives. That's years and years ago. But man, I love the Book of Acts. Acts 2, one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. So I told Kevin, man, so this community that he's talking about, guys, I want to be honest with you. I do not believe that Hope and I would be here if it were not for that type of community that he's talking about. Like our small group early on in our Christian walk, that's where we learned how to live out the Bible, right? We would go to church and we learned information at church, but then when we had a couple that had been doing it a long time, and they walked with all of us young married dummies, and we're like, and talked about how to live that out in our marriage. And man, it was absolutely transformational. It changed how I treated my wife. It really changed my whole trajectory because we were in that close-knit community.
And that was my experience too.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, this is our third point. If you're taking notes, we can put that up there on the screen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right? I'm supposed to say this, right? How do we do that at FBCE?
Yeah, there it is.
Right?
Yeah. There you go. So here's how we do it. We prioritize transformation. We prioritize transformation comes through learning the Word of God in increasingly closer-knit community. The results in encouragement, accountability, and missional living. Mm. Closer-knit community that results in encouragement, accountability, and missional living. So you think about this. The gospel begins with salvation, grows through transformation, culminates in families engaged in the mission and multiplication. And that's what we've been talking about. So when we think about discipleship then here, it looks more like, can I show you a different slide? Are you guys done with that one? It looks kind of like this. I think we have a slide with some circles.
For all you visual learners like me.
And it's probably going to come. Okay.
It's coming. Can we go to that next one? There we go.
Hey, there we go. So these circles represent just tighter knit community, right? So first, so you can see that there are different kind of circles all within one big circle. And if you go to the next slide, first thing that we see is where we're at right now, which is congregation, right? We gather together, just like we're doing now, in our largest group. Notice a couple things from this slide. This has the direct impact on disciple-making is really the lowest here. It's very, very important that we gather together. It doesn't. Our gathering here encourages us to start our discipleship journey. It's an encouragement for the believer. It edifies us for the work of the week. But if we're thinking disciple-making and multiplication, the impact's low because we're in a large group.
Well yeah, and that's not informationally it's low. We're not saying, hey, what we say is not important.
Right.
Your pastors know a lot and have studied the Bible and committed their lives to it. So it's not that you cannot get some level of discipleship. But guys, like we said, real discipleship happens in relationship. Mm-hmm. It is very hard to relate in a room of 300, okay?
That's true.
It just really is. So that walking it out with somebody, being able to stop and go, man, hey, how do you do that? It's hard to do when you don't have a relationship with those people.
Right.
So, yep.
And so if we get into the next level, go ahead and go to the next slide, where we get into these kind of groups, you see these bold lists of some of the groups that we offer right now. There are others. This is an increasingly closer-knit community. Notice discipleship goes up to medium. There's a growing sense of belonging, and you get to know people. You start to work out these things together. This is why we want to see everyone get into a learn community, like a life group.
Do it!
I mean, let's start more life groups. In fact, as you know, I mean, one of the goals for this year is to have 10 more life groups started. Maybe you want to start one. We can talk. Or a class, or a Bible study. One of these groups, we want you to be a part of that because that's where we start to see the one another's start to take place.
What are the one another's?
You know, bearing one another's burdens, you know, praying with one another, those sorts of things. And so that's where it really begins, okay? Then the next slide, go ahead and go to the next one. If we go a little smaller into a cluster, what we see here, groups of 3 to 6, now you start to have some really meaningful engagement, right? You start to see where you can work out questions and dig deeper about what does it mean to follow Christ. There's accountability, spiritual growth, multiplication. Disciple making is elevated because you have this kind of interaction with the gospel and each other. This is why we want to see our men's ministry, all these men, you guys getting into these little pods. Some of you are doing it and you can testify to how great that has been in your life. We want to see that happen. We want to see these other things, small Bible studies, and accountability.
One of the things that at this level, when we say elevated, one of the things that can begin to happen at this level that can't happen really at that other level is, you know, we said not just encouragement. You can be encouraged at that other level, but accountability cannot really happen at any level until we get down to this level. At 3 to 6, you can't do accountability in a group of 20.
Right.
I mean, it's very difficult. You know what I'm saying? I mean, mm-hmm. because there are things that you're not going to share with 20 people, right? But you might share in a group of 6 or maybe 8 or maybe 10. So a lot of our ministries are designed to either break you up into really small groups mm-hmm. so that you can start to build those kind of relationships, right? Or they literally start at that level. So anyway.
Exactly right, yeah. So we want to make sure we're trying to get smaller so we have that kind of accountability. And you can ask those questions. Like, you know, you mentioned this. A lot of times we come into church thinking, well, if I come to church, my life is all put together. Well, I look around and I know we're all broken like the pots you were talking about. And so this is where it gets real, is this level. Then there's a smaller step right here, the smallest circle, which is one-on-one disciple making. Some of you are doing that. We had about 20 that were doing one-on-one disciple making this last semester.
Couple does not mean dating, teenagers.
No.
Just want to go
another C word
on record, okay?
Yeah.
It's not like, hey, I found a cute guy. We're going to date. He's not a believer.
No.
We're fine. Do not do that.
No.
Missionary dating doesn't work. Whole different sermon, okay?
Yeah, that's different.
Okay, one-on-one disciple making. That's
so
just
we're talking
to
two guys,
clear.
Two girls. We're getting together. Just another accountability to dive into the Word, talk about how do you follow Christ. Here we see transformative mentorship taking place. It's if you're looking for spiritual growth, this is where you're going to have the greatest amount of that. Personalized guidance, it results in transformation and multiplication. It's part of it, that what you learn in this kind of relationship is then passed on to others.
Yep.
And so that's really, really important. And I think it's important also to note that this is not a roadmap. Like, you're not supposed to go like, I go here, then here, then here, then here. You know, that's not what I'm saying. It's more of an explanation of what's happening here, so you can get a kind of like pull the curtain back, what's happening at the church, what is the vision and the guide for discipleship. But again, the goal is transformation, and disciple making that leads to multiplication, because that's our commission. Yeah, followers of
Christ.
Can
I talk about the roadmap for a second?
Of
the reason why we say it's not a roadmap, some of you guys, and I love you, but the moment we say something like this, that our goal is one-on-one discipleship, you're like, I have to be discipled, and I want to be like Paul. You don't need to be discipled. You need to be discipling somebody, okay? Like you already know all the meat, so don't ask me to give you milk. You know what I'm saying? So the goal of the other things, though, if we can get you out of congregation and into some other community, you're going to recognize there's somebody else in your group that knows way less than you. And we are trusting the Holy Spirit to put it on your heart to go, you know what? I wonder if they need to be discipled. Now, you may not have gone through our what it means to be a discipler,
right.
But you go, I sure would love to teach them. And you reach out to us, and we go, super easy, we'll walk you through the program. And then you actually are now pouring into somebody else. So that's why I say it's not a roadmap. It's not that everybody here needs that one-on-one discipleship. Some of you need to be discipling one-on-one, not being discipled.
100%.
Yep.
And so, I mean, there's lots of avenues you're going to see here. So I think we have another slide. Maybe you can talk about
this.
Like, there's some different ways that you can get started.
Yeah,
in community.
So here's how to get started here at our church. So I'm not going to go back to the slide, but you guys remember go forward. I'm not going to go back to the mission slide. You guys know the mission of the church is to see families transformed. The moment that we felt the Lord saying, add families to your mission statement, and we listened and obeyed, God opened some floodgates. I'm just being honest with you. The moment we said, yes, Lord, we're going to be obedient. So those of you in your personal life, you feel like God's calling you to something, can I just say, step out in obedience and see what he does, okay? Because
yeah.
The moment that we added families, man, we started seeing families from everywhere. We have people coming to the church every week, and they're coming going, hey, I hear you have a great youth program, or you love kids. So the majority of our church is made up of families. Because that's the case and because that's our mission, y'all, if you have lots of families and there's lots of young kids, guess what you have to do? You have to deal with childcare. It's always an issue. So it's never not an issue for us. So we had to think through, how do we disciple people when there's that many kids? And we know the goal is not just to learn, right?
Right.
So to be like Christ, we have to love God, we have to learn, but we also have to serve, and we have to go share the gospel. So bringing that balance was really important for us. So listen, to disciple people that have children, we have so many of them, it's literally like 80%+ of our church, our families with kids. To do that, we have to have a system that uses childcare. So if you do have kids in the home and you need childcare, this is your front door entrance, okay? Now, if you have kids and you don't need childcare, we'll get to the other side. But if you're like, man, I need some time where it's just me and my husband and the kids aren't going, mom, 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 mom. And some of you are doing that in worship, and God bless you. That is awesome, okay? And they're going to get it. They're going to get it, and eventually they'll move off and you'll have that one-on-one time. But so we offer 3 ministries here throughout the year. You have to sign up. You have to sign up because we're going to have childcare. We're going to provide it. But these are not on Sunday morning. These typically meet on Wednesday nights, okay? So the first is our marriage ministry, Reengage. The second is our finance ministry, which starts this Wednesday, Redeem Finance. You, like, listen, don't lie to me. Finances are an issue, right? So don't act like they're not an issue. Go see Casey and Jeanette and say, hey, they're kind of an issue. They're going to help you out. They're not going to judge you. They've been where you are. Okay, so that's one. And then the last is parenting, which we'll offer at the end of the semester. Once our finance class is over, we're going to offer a parenting class that Kevin's going to teach. We're super excited.
Mm-hmm.
That's your entrance, okay? So you came to big church, you signed up, you got into a smaller community. That's going to dump somewhere else, but that is your entrance. Now, if you do not need childcare, you're on the other side of that diagram. So, for instance, if you're an empty nester, man, come at 8:30. The church is so quiet, y'all. I come myself. I try to get here by 8:15 just because it's so relaxing. There's coffee. There's just adults. It's so nice. I don't have to yell at anybody to pick up the dishes or their laundry. Why is there underwear on this floor? There's none of that here, okay? So listen, 8:30, we've got a men's class, we've got a women's class, we've got a mixed class. They're awesome. So if you're an empty nester, you do not have children in the house, come at 8:30. If you have kids in the house, but you don't have to worry about childcare, our men's ministry and our women's ministry, you don't have to worry about childcare. Men, you come and you say, honey, love you, good luck, right? And you show up. And it's awesome. Women, the opposite way. Typically, our women's ministry, right now, most of our Bible studies are on Monday. So it's Monday during the day or Monday night. hello, husband, love you, good luck. I'm going to go spend some time with some ladies and learn about Jesus, right? Then we also have grief share. Man, y'all, life is hard. And I meet people every week that have recently lost somebody, a parent, a spouse, you name it. And when you go through those hardships, you need to be able to talk about that with somebody, Kevin. Mm-hmm. And to talk about somebody that's biblically grounded is really important. So we got that. Small groups. These are groups of anybody that meets in a home. And our goal is to have 10 more of them.
We have one already.
Yeah.
9 to go.
But you guys figure out, there are children there if you have kids. Mm-hmm. But you guys figure out how to make that model work for you. And so it's not a church figuring out that program for you. And then, as Kevin said, one-on-one discipleship. Guys, think of it this way. We've got worship, and then where do I go next? We've intentionally created different types of buckets, okay? Now, youth, you're looking at me like, ours isn't on here. That's because you guys have your own buckets. You're so great that you have your own slide that's not here, but you can talk to Miss Erin and, mm-hmm. and Coach Anderson. You guys have your own, Sunday morning we're going to be discipled, and then we've got impact groups. So the goal is, no matter where we are, that we have these buckets where we can continue to get tighter and tighter and tighter, right?
That's right. Well, and I think we need to remember, as we talk about discipleship and kind of wrap this up, we need to remember the Bible is very clear that all transformation begins with salvation, which we talked about. So all discipleship begins with non-disciples. So if you're here today and you've never put your faith in Christ, I am imploring you to do that today. Put your trust in Him, because the reality is, like we've talked about, we're all sinners in need of grace. We need to be forgiven and restored and made new. Until we've been redeemed and born again, all this stuff we're talking about is just going to keep us busy. But it's not going to change you. It's not going to save you. So put your faith in Christ alone when you do that. Then He transforms you, grows you, gives you hope and purpose.
Yeah.
Amen.
So we need to get you out. And man, thank you for allowing us to do this morning. We do have some application for you guys. And number one, it's the same point we've had all throughout this series. Guys, it all begins with putting our faith and trust in Christ. Okay? Man, receive Jesus. If you're here and you came, again, it's a new year. You came, man, I want to change my life. You've tried to do it on your own and by yourself, so you're actually turning towards God. You're here going, man, there's a change. I haven't been able to do this on my own. That's because you can't, but Jesus can. Okay, but you've got to surrender. You've got to give your life to Him, and we'll have an opportunity for you to do that in just a second, so that's number one. Okay, number two, the heart of this talk this morning is that we want to get you into a learn community. Okay, we want to get you into a learn community. That's the next step, okay? Mm-hmm. So you've got to go from big group, from worship community, down to a learn community. And so we have a cool way to do this morning. I want you to mm-hmm. do me a favor. Everybody, pull out your phone, okay? Youth, you guys are good. You've got yours. You don't have to pull out your phone. But everybody pull out a phone. And so I'm going to ask you to do it right now. Let's go. Come on. Pull it out. I'm looking at you. I can see you. The lights are on. Some of you are not obeying. Okay, let's do it. Pull out your phone, Kevin. Let's do it.
I'm on it.
Phone in church. Open up the text app, all right? Go to the little icon up at the top and type in this number. When it says 2, type in 512-777-0137. Some of you are already in a community, and that's cool, and I got it. If you're already in a small group, you don't have to like re-text us, be like, I want to join a small group. You're in one. But if you would like, so group stands for small group. You would text the word group to that number.
You don't need the quotes.
Yeah, you don't need the quotes. So you say, like, you want to be in a small group, you text the word group to that number. You want to be a part of a men's group, you text men's to that number. You want to be a part of our Redeemed Finance class that starts Wednesday. Finance, women's ministry. Again, 2 women's Bible studies starting soon. Text women's. You want to be part of our parenting class, which doesn't start till the end of the semester. Parent. And if you're somebody, you're going, man, I really need more. I need one-on-one discipleship. You text the word one-on-one to that number, and you're going to get a reply today.
Almost immediately from me, not from the stage. That's an automatic reply. But it's going to be from me with a link so that you can put your name in there, and I'll contact you.
Guys, it's the heart of what we do.
You can do more than one also, just do the different words.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to leave this on the screen, and after we pray, it'll be back on the screen. Guys, the heart of our church, the mission of our church, is to see you transformed by the gospel. Transformation happens best as you interact with the word in increasingly smaller community. Okay? Hey, pray with me this morning, if you don't mind. We're going to bow our heads. We're going to pray. We're going to have an opportunity, if you're one of those people here, that you came to church and you're like, man, I want some change in my life, but I'm not seeing it. I'm ready. I'm ready to turn my life over to Christ. I'm ready for new beginnings. I want to be made new. I want to become that child of God. I want change. You're feeling those stirrings in your heart. Here's what we're going to do. If you don't mind, we're going to turn down the lights just for a moment, and we're going to pray. But if you're here this morning, I'm going to ask everyone to bow their heads and to close their eyes. But I'm going to ask those that are they're longing for God to change them. And they heard today the only way that could happen is for them to surrender their life to Christ. Now, if you're here and you've never done that, you've never said, Jesus, I need help. Jesus, I need you to change me. Jesus, I need you to come into my life and change me from the inside out. If that is you, what I'm going to ask you to do is really brave right now. But I just want you, nobody's looking around, raise your hand and say, that's what I need right now. I need new life. I need a new beginning. I need a change. Would you just raise your hand if that's you this morning? I see you. I see you in the back. Anybody else just willing to raise their hand and say, that's me. I need to be made new. I need to give my life over to God. Anybody else? Okay. All right. Thank you. Man, if that's you, I want you to do me a favor. Nobody else is looking around, but where you are, would you make eye contact with me real quick? Just look up at me. We're going to look eye to eye for a second. I see you. I see you. Okay. All right. Awesome. I see you. Thank you for looking up at me. More than just one. All right. Here's what we're going to do, guys. We're going to be honest with God. We're going to tell him that we need him, that we want him to change us. We're going to give our lives over to him. That's the only way he can change us. If we're in control, no change. Same thing, okay? To do the same thing over and over and over is the definition of insanity, okay? All right? So we're going to pray a prayer. Now, don't be freaked out. You're going to hear people around you praying. You're going to think, man, everybody needs to accept Jesus. No, they've probably already done it, but they're praying for you, okay? Once we're saved, we don't have to ask Jesus to save us over and over and over again. He does it when we cry out to him, all right? But if you're here and you've never prayed this prayer, we're all going to pray it out loud for you. Let's pray together. Dear God, from your heart, I come to you right now. And I just say, help. I want to change so badly, but I can't. And today I realize I'll never be able to do it on my own. So Jesus, take it. Take me. Take my heart and my mind. Just take control. I surrender. Forgive me of my sin and make me yours. And teach me what it means to follow you. From here on out, I will live for you as a child of God. Amen.